ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो नेक्स्ट् वीक् आन्वर्ड्स् we will be doing simultaneously the first chapter and the sixth chapter like that okay and so today we just continue with the first chapter so in this chandogya upanishad the upanishad belonging to samaveda meditation is only for antahkarna shuddhi antahkarna naishchalyam it's for mental expansion expansion of the mind alone meditations are prescribed actually But it will not give you the vision of the truth, which means it will not remove the ignorance. But still, it is nice to know the meditations, what are, so many meditations are discussed. And till now we have seen many meditations. And in this next section, which we have to start today, the fourth section, again, Upanishad presents, we know very well, Udgita is the Udgita Upasana only. Is we discussed all this time. So this Udgitaha, the Omkara in the Rigveda is known as, in Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, in all the three Vedas, Omkaraha is known as Pranavaha. So Omkaraha is known as Udgitaha in Samaveda. But here, In the Udgi, the Omkaraha in Rigveda is known as Pranavaha, that is taken here. We'll see that actually. And again, Upanishad wants to say, now Udgitam Upasita. Let us see the first mantra now. Omityetadaksharam. Omityetadaksharam. Udgitam.
Udgitam.
उपासीत ओम इति हि हि उद्गायति तस्य उपव्याख्यानम् सो हियर जस्ट ओम इति एतद् अक्षरम् उद्गीतम् उपासीत सो मे वन मेडिटेट अपॉन The Omkara, which is Udgita, known as Udgita, which is uttered in high pitch in Samaveda. And that is said here again, it is repeated here. Why? After long time, again the Udgita is brought into the picture, so it repeats the same thing what has been said in the very first mantra. And here, this here, he is going to say, like a small, this here, an akhyayaka, a small story like something is presented in the following mantra. Let us see that now. Devavai mrityoho bhyataha trayim vidyam pravishan te chandobihi achadayan यद् येभिः अच्छादयन् तत् छन्दसाम् छन्दस्त्वम् देवावै मृत्योः बिभ्यतः त्रयीं विद्यां प्राविशन् ते छन्दोभिः अच्छादयन् यद् येभिः अच्छादयन् तत् छन्दसाम् छन्दस्त्वम्. So here, before why this Udgita Upasanam is prescribed again? To say that, Upanishad presents a small story like it says, all these devas, all devas were afraid of death. Devaha bibhyataha, afraid of death. No, because devas also, you should remember what now, devata is also an exalted jiva. Any devaha is also, a devata is also an exalted jivaha, not Ishwaraha. So all these devas, because they, by their own karma, by earning more punyam, devas are that in them some positions, we say. So devas were, This story should be taken only as a story. Okay, devas were mrityoho bibhyataha. They're all afraid of death, time limitation. They're all subject to time. So what they, because they being afraid of death, what did they do? Vitrayim vidyam pravishan. Trayim vidyam pravishan means what? They entered into trayi vidya. Trayi vidya means what? This threefold Vedas. Trayi Vidya means threefold Vedas. Threefold, you know, the Vedas which serve as means of knowledge. Threefold Vedas are called Trayi Vidya, Trinity. What are they? Rig, Yajus and Sama. Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda. They have taken refuge in the three Vedas means they approached the Karma Kanda of the three Vedas. Okay, they thought, we will study the three karma kanda of the three Vedas and then we'll know all rituals and then we'll perform these rituals. Which means, they started performing the rituals prescribed in the karma kanda of the three Vedas. By performing rituals, we can earn more and more punyam, thereby we can escape from death. Understand now, they are afraid of death. Nobody wants to die, really speaking. So, mrityoho means what? Being afraid of death, they took refuge in what? In the karma kanda of the Veda, which means they started performing ritual. They took performance of rituals prescribed in the karma kanda of the three Vedas as something remedy for escaping from death. Provision. And then, Chandobihi Achadayan Yadyebihi Achadayan Tachandasam Chandastvam. In fact, the word the Chandas. Now the next Upanishad says how they thought the performance of rituals and the pleasing performance of rituals will help them, will protect them from death, protect them from fear of death. So the word chandas, why Veda mantra is called chandas? Because the chandas means chadayati, it has come from the root chad. Chadayati means covers. So achadaka means any bed cover is called what? Any sheet is called chadakam, achadakam. So chandayati iti chandas, it covers, no? It covers, that's why it's called. It covers, therefore it's called chandas. But even though they performed the rituals, then what happens? Even though the mantras, the performance of rituals can only produce punya phalam, which cannot protect them from fear of death. because it will not remove the fear of death. So fear of death can be removed. What is which can remove the fear of death? See, the fear of death can be removed means the very phenomenon called fear will be resolved for good. Actually, if there is a mind which is absolutely free from fear, the phenomenon called fear. Just take only the phenomenon called fear and you have to understand today what this fear is all about. Fear, fear, fear. If there is anxiety, that's also modified form of fear. I'm going a little out of the topic and coming back to the Upanishad, okay? Now we are taking, no, only once to surrender. What is that? All the devas, bibhyata. Now they are all afraid of what? Mrityoho. They were afraid of death. When they are afraid of death as a means of protection, Trana Upaya, as a means of protection, what did they do? They started performing rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the three Vedas. So, Traim Vidyam Pravishan. Means they took, now they thought performance of rituals prescribed the Karma Kanda of the Veda will help them earn punyam, thereby they can be protected from the fear of death. But is it right? We know very well. What is that fear? What is the fear? Why a karma palam cannot protect one from fear of death? How much ever punyam you earn, how much ever karma you perform, whether it's a Vaidikam karma, a religious sacred ritual, performance of ritual, or a secular activity, secular karma or sacred karma, whether it's a religious activity or, you know, worldly, mundane activity, whatever action you perform, whatever activity you perform, if that action is in conformity with dharma, definitely karma produces phalam. And especially worship. The performance of ritual is what? A Vedic form of worship. So any Vaidikam karma, a Vedic ritual, when performed as prescribed, definitely produces punyam. So, how many ever rituals you perform, how many ever forms of worship you do also, definitely you can accumulate more and more and more and punyam. Abundance of punyam you can have. So, how much ever punyam you accumulate, that does not have the capacity to remove fear. Fear cannot be resolved. So, but devas, no, they wanted to protected from the fear of death, but they chose the wrong means. They chose karma as the means of attainment of moksha. They thought karma phalam will help them attain moksha, freedom from fear of death. So devas chose that. Now the question is, what is this fear? What is the fear? See, fear, in what form does fear obtain? Whether it's anxiety, insecurity, or two more faces of fear. Okay? In two more forms of fear. Sense of insecurity is also what? Expression of fear. And then the anxiety is also expression of fear. And basically, fear is the phenomenon. In what form does it obtain? Fear is not... Fear has no physical form. Okay? Any physical form can what trigger the fear in your mind. An externally perceived physical form can trigger the fear in your mind. Isn't it? A subtle form can externally trigger the fear in your mind. So fear is a thought modification. Fear is in the form of a thought only. Fear is a phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought. And it is always there. The fear is not newly created. Fear is not a new, like a pain is not a newly created pain. Fear also is not newly created. Please understand this. fear is not created newly suddenly. Fear is always there beginninglessly. Understand? Fear is always dormant, latent, in the subconscious, in every mind. As long as fear remains dormant and latent, we think we are fearless. Understand? So our being fearless now does not mean we don't have fear at all. Fear is always there in the subconscious, dormant, latent. That fear alone, whenever you feel insecure, the sense of insecurity felt by you, again, that's also what? Number of thought. The anxiety, any small, even the slightest tinge of anxiety, which you feel is what? It's also expression of that fear only. Which means there's no new thing called new fear is not created newly. It is always very old. It is latent, dormant in subconscious. When it does not, when it remains dormant, we think we are fearless, we are courageous and brave people. How long does it take for your courage to be shattered? No, that's all. Fear has to just surface. Anxiety is also an expression of that fear. So insecurity is also an expression of that fear. And the fear is the phenomenon. It does surface. Okay? It does surface when it is triggered. And what can be the instrument of triggering? What is that instrument which triggers that fear from your mind for it to surface? Suppose as a child, even something big, buchandi, you say something, the fear can be triggered. Sometimes to control children, we cause fear in children. Understand now? We don't cause. The fear is already there. In us also there is a fear. And so we make the trigger the fear in the child by saying something, isn't it? Then the fear surfaces, the child becomes quiet. And then forest, now you see a lizard, you see a snake, you see a cockroach, you see anything, or a snake, doesn't mean to be snake itself, isn't it? Any small thing in a bathroom, or it comes to a small ant comes to the bed also, suddenly gets into your blouse, finished, and then it can jump. So fear can be triggered by any external situation. Somebody falls sick, somebody close to you, close to you is ill, something. When the death, especially death. If there is, the thought of death comes, maybe it will kill me, kill the closest person, then suddenly the fear can be triggered. Okay, then what now? What is the fear? The discomfort one experiences when one comes to know of that one will not be here anymore. One will lose one's life. Understand the discomfort one experiences, one goes through when one comes to know of the loss of life. One is going to, one will not be here anymore. That discomfort is called what now? Actually fear. And in what form does it obtain? It obtains the form of a thought. So fear is not really comforting, the state of mind. Fear is a very, very uncomfortable, and it is a discomfort, in fact. Maybe nobody wants that. However comfortably placed, comfortable bed, comfortable home, comfortable everything, all the comforts are here, but there is such a great discomfort in your mind, that's why fear is not desirable. Okay, and that fear is the phenomenon, it can be there, it can be triggered by any external situation, only if it is there underneath in the subconscious. The fear is not at all there in subconscious, then how can it be triggered? If the fear is not there in subconscious, nothing can trigger the fear. So any small external situation, any external thing can trigger the fear, means trigger is always there in dormant latency subconscious. Therefore, that fear, it should not be there in subconscious. which means fear should be resolved for good. It means the fear will not be there dormant in the subconscious. Only then the fear cannot be triggered. Only then you can free yourself from the discomfort that you experience when you hear about the word death or time limitation. Then there will not be anxiety at all. Nothing can cause anxiety. Nothing can cause, make you feel insecure. The sense of insecurity, the sense of the anxiety will be resolved for good if the fear is resolved for good. If it is resolved for good means what? Nothing can trigger the fear. The fear will not be there at all. But these people, they thought if we perform rituals, the Tayi Vidya Masrayin means they surrendered to the karma kand of the Veda, they are performing rituals, so the punyam they accumulate as a result of karma, will karma phalam, they thought karma phalam will protect them from fear of death. If I have lots of money, if I have lots of become very famous, the fame, name, popularity, manpower, money power, political influence, wealth, riches, and everything, if I have everything, knowledge, everything, if I have, if I'm a highly erudite person, if I'm highly known for my intelligence and knowledge and scholarship, and all these things, what now? Will make me a very highly powerful person. The more powerful I am, the knowledge power, the man power, money power, influence, everything I have, then I will feel what? Very secure, I'll be protected, then nothing can cause fear in me. And nothing can fear of death also will not be there. I can protect myself from fear of death also. But here, Shastram, what does the Shastram say in Vedanta Shastram? In Upasana context, we are not going to do that. But what does the Vedanta say here? In fact, Vedanta says, if the one thing in the mind is resolved for good, in a phenomenon called fear alone you take care of. The fear is the root cause, in fact. The fear, all your emotions, all our anxieties, in fact, the anger, hatred, likes, dislikes, jealousy, all of them are actually, in fact, different expressions of one phenomenon called fear. Even jealousy, even the hatred, even the anger, if you really analyze, they will all be resolved for good if you resolve one thing called fear. You can easily see where there is utter fearlessness, there will not be jealousy at all. The jealousy is also discomfort, mental discomfort. When there is jealousy, you think it will be very comfortable. My God, it's a mental discomfort. If then it's hatred towards somebody, hatred, I hate. The very expression you can say how much hatred, isn't it? The hatred is also what? High discomfort. When there's a hatred, do you think you can be very comfortable? No. Hatred is a mental discomfort. And then jealousy is a mental discomfort. Anger, my God. Anger. Okay, the degree of anger is also what now? The more angry you are, the more discomfort you have. You suffer. It's a suffering. It is not all a comfort, isn't it? It's a discomfort. Anger, jealousy, hatred, and also what? Even deep liking, the passion, likes and dislikes, they're all really, they don't allow you to be at ease. That's why they're all mental disease, in fact. Understand? The discomfort, all these emotions, all of them will be resolved for good if the fear will be resolved for good. In having one thing resolved, everything else will be resolved. You don't need to chase, clear, remove, keep away, keep jealousy away, hatred away, anger away, insecurity away. They all will resolve what? If the fear is taken care of. Fear is the, that is why in Mrityunjaya mantra, what we pray, actually Mrityunjaya mantra itself is having a special prayer exclusively for resolving the fear of death. By taking care of one thing, everything else is taken care of. Where there is no fear at all, there cannot be jealousy, there cannot be anger, there cannot be hatred. Definitely there cannot be. It is there cannot be insecurity. There cannot be anxiety. What is anxiety for? Nothing will be there. There will be only peace. The fear is resolved when they were all not there. The state of mind is called what? Peace. Understand? We talk about the word peace. Not P-I-E-C-E. I'm talking about the P-E-A-C-E. Okay. So what is that peace? Peace means the turbulence-free, quiet, calm mind. A state of mind. The peace will be there. When is the peace? There won't be rising of jealousy, hatred, anger, no, anxiety, insecurity. They all will not be there. When they don't, nothing rises. How is it? There's no turbulence, means there is peace. For them not raised, what should be resolved? The fear is not there, they are all not there. You take care of one thing. Fear is what? The fear is caused by what? What is the root cause of the fear? What is that which causes the fear? Why there is fear? The phenomenon called fear is always dormant and latent in the subconscious, and external situations only become instrumental nimittam for it to be triggered. They are not responsible for the fear. The lizard or a cockroach or a buchandi or a devil or a ghost or even anything is only what? It's only instrumental for the fear to be triggered. They do not cause the fear. The fear surfaces, okay, be triggered by situations, but fear is not caused by situations. That's why even after the lizard goes, also what? Still fear will be there. That fear what now remains again dormant. The lizard goes, the fear again goes back to dormant condition. It doesn't mean it's not resolved for good. It's there. It's always there. Well protected. It surfaces. My God. Therefore, what is the cause of the fear? It is the death. Okay? The fear is actually caused by fear of death. Fear is of the death. Fear is always of the death only. The fear of death alone, you know, surfaces as the fear caused by external situations. Triggered by some situations. Why, when, how long will there be a fear of death? How long will there be this fear of death? So as long as the strong notion is there in one's mind, there will be a fear of death. What is the strong notion? I am a mortal. I am subject to death. As long as the strong notion is there in the mind that I am a mortal, I am is knowledge, and I am a mortal is what? Wrong knowledge. I am is knowledge. I am a mortal is a notion about the self. I am is a beautiful knowledge of the existence of one's own self. I am a mortal is a notion one entertains about oneself, which is an erroneous notion. Okay, why this notion is, as long as this notion, I am a mortal, is there in the mind, and the notion also obtains in the form of a thought. I am, this is a knowledge, beautiful knowledge, and which also obtains in the form of a thought. I am is also what? Obtains in the form of a thought only. The knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of the existence of one's own self. It is a beautiful thing. But I am a mortal is what? A notion one entertains about oneself, which is also in the form of a thought. Understand now? The beautiful knowledge, which is just the knowledge, is also in the form of a thought. The notion also is in the form of a thought. And this notion is an erroneous notion. Which means I was not here before the birth of the body. I was not here before I was born. This is a conclusion, already clean conclusion. I was not here before I was born. I was born. Look at how many notions, okay? I was not here before I was born. I was born at such a day, such a time, in a given place. Then I am here now. I am. And then I will not be after some time. How many? I was not here. I was born. After birth, I have been. I am. I will not be after death. Which means I am going to die. I am going to die. So clear. I am going to die. I am going to die. I am, which means I am a mortal. I am subject to time limitation. I am bound by time limitation. I am going to die. Very clean, very clear understanding. Why? My experience tells me very clearly. My grandfather is no more, grandmother is no more, great-grandparents are not here. And I saw some of my friends and uncles and recently, they keep passing. Oh, Krishna Kumar ji is no more, Peter ji is no more, Hri Murugan ji is no more. Okay? It's our perception, isn't it? And also one more Lingamaya has passed away in another class. Velupillai. The fourth man in the class. And so many other souls also are going. And we attend a cremation. We also go for condolences and cremations. So very clean. I am a mortal. I am going to die. Very strong understanding. Talk everything very nicely. But very strong and okay, entrenched notion. And it is this notion. It is the cause of the fear of death. If this notion is resolved, fear also will be resolved. How are you going to resolve the fear? Unless and until this notion one entertains about one's own self, is resolved, the fear will never be resolved. There is no way of resolving the phenomenon called fear obtaining in our thought unless and until one resolves this very notion that I am a mortal. I am going to die. And this notion, if it is real, is a right notion, then it is real reality, then you can't do anything about it. But Shastram says what? This notion one entertains about oneself is a wrong notion, erroneous notion. There's error in the notion one entertains about oneself. And this error is due to what? This error. Why there is an error in the notion one entertains about oneself? Why there's an erroneous notion about one's own self? Because this erroneous notion is caused by one's wrong identity. It is the wrong identity which is the cause for this erroneous notion about oneself, that I am a mortal. And it is this wrong notion which gives rise to the fear of death. And as long as there is fear, there will be anxiety, jealousy, hatred, anger, insecurity, everything will be there. Therefore, this wrong notion is caused by the wrong identity. And wrong identity means definitely, no, the Shastra addresses you like this, you are. No, you are, but you do not see yourself as you are. You see, you take yourself for something which you are not. You take yourself for something which you are not. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. Which means you mistake your body for yourself. You mistake your body for yourself. You mistake your mind for yourself. You mistake your sense organs for yourself. You mistake your pranas for yourself. You mistake your powers of organs of actions for yourself. You mistake your sukshma, subtle factors which indwell the physical body for yourself. You mistake the grossest physical body for yourself. And this gross physical body has what? Definitely was not there. This form and name was not there before it was born. It was there in a different form. Even the body also is not. Only this particular form was not there. The name was not there. But the matter was already there. The material for the body was also already there. Only the form and name was not there. And the form and name, isn't it? And his form and name again is what now? And definitely it has a birth. And it undergoes changes also. From tiny form grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, bigger. Then it undergoes changes. And also what? Definitely one day the form collapses. Form collapses. Along with the form, the name also will collapse. The form collapses. Along with the form, the name indicating the form also will collapse. Nama and Rupa will collapse. It is a beginning, it is an end, in between undergoes changes. What collapses? What is only the form and the name? And which has a beginning, which has an end. This Nama Rupa are taken to be the self. Mistaken. It's called what now? Wrong identity. Wrong identification. The wrong identification, wrong identity, isn't it? Is the cause of wrong notion, and wrong notion is the cause of fear, the phenomenon called fear. Therefore, to resolve this phenomenon called fear for good, the fear should not be dormant right in the subconscious at all. It should be resolved for good. It will be removed for good. What can it be? When it can be removed? It can be removed only when the wrong notion is resolved. And the notion in the error, the error in the notion should be corrected. I am a mortal notion should be corrected by what? Actually, I am an immortal reality. Isn't it? The corrected will be corrected. For the correction to take place, what now? There must be the wrong identity, isn't it? There must be right identity also. Which means, what is the cause of the wrong identity? Why does one mistake oneself for something which one is not? Why do you mistake yourself for something which you are not? Very simple kindergarten class this is actually. You do not know what you are. Which means what? We all the time we talk about this I. You know, the I is the first person singular pronoun which all of us are using to refer to ourselves. See, we use so many other pronouns to refer to other people, to refer to anything else in the world. but refer to our own self, to refer to one's own self, the only pronoun used by all of us. The only pronoun is used by all of us to refer to one's own self. That is I, isn't it? That actually speaking, I is only as a substantive, we know I am. We have this knowledge, I am. There is I. We use this term I, but expression I. But actually, what is this I? I is a substantive and for which there is a substance which you do not know. The subtle substantive, okay, very subtle. When I say book is a substantive, is it? When you say wave is a substantive, wall is a substantive, it's a gross words, the gross objects here. Now what is that? So what is the substantive we know? Like a wave is a substantive and water is the substance. Wave is the substantive, a form. Wave is a what? Actually, a word indicating a form. A word wave will be meaningless minus the form wave. And the form wave cannot exist independently without the substance called water. Therefore, what is the water? What is the substance? If you see, the water alone has substantiality. Water is the substance and a wave is a non-substantial form and a name. Because there is no substance called wave. Is there a substance called wave? No. Remove the water, then search for the wave. You cannot find the wave. So wave is a non-substantial form and name. Substance is the water. Understand? Therefore, you have to say water. Wave is water. It's the right expression. Similarly, I is what a substantive. First person singular pronoun. I is also substantive. And what is a substance? We do not know. Therefore, what I am, what? I do not know. And I do not know that I do not know what I am. What is I is? Wave is water I know. I is what? I do not know. Therefore, what now? I is identified with the mind. I being this I, what I am is what? Knowledge of the existence of one's own self, obtaining in our thought, it is not different from other thoughts. It is not different from other thoughts. What happened? It's identified with all other thoughts. The mind. Identified with the mind, identified with the intellect, identified with the memory, identified with, understand how? An I is identified with the entire mind, I is identified with the physiological functions, I is identified with the sense powers, I identified with the powers of organs of actions, I is very much identified with the physical body which has a birth, which has a death, which undergoes changes, beginning and end, isn't it? Strongly identified. I sense is strongly rooted, identified with the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, what now? Because of this wrong identity, because of the ignorance of the substance of the substantive I is identified with gross and subtle, okay, the components which constitute the individual. Thereby, what happens now? I am an individual. Obtaining in I am an individual. Isn't it? The identity is all over. Not beyond this body. Thank God. If it goes beyond the body also, isn't it? This is another problem. So this is the how long, how far is the mind going? So far is your identity. Mind can go only here until the body, isn't it? Mind's company, only the sense organ is only the skin. So until this, till here we have this identity. Therefore, a given form, with a given name, you know, which has a time beginning, which has an end, is identified as the self. I am this. And it is wrong, this is ignorance caused wrong identity. Ignorance is the root cause of the wrong identity, and because of which there is wrong notion about the self, and which gives rise to the existence of the phenomenon called fear. So the fear will be resolved for good if the error in the notion is corrected. The error in the notion can be corrected if the identity, wrong identity also is, error in the identity is also corrected, and for which one has to have the vision of the truth of one's own self. What I is, what I am. Wave is water. What is I is? So wave is water means you are resolving the waveness in the water. Wave in the water. When you say I am, the reality means you are resolving your identity in the reality. So what is the truth of the I? What is the reality of the I? What is this content of the I? What is the stuff of the I? What is the real substance or the substantive I? So where does the wave rise from? Where does the wave exist? Where does the wave resolve? What is the truth? What is substance or substantive wave? You know very well. Similarly, what is I is? Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? What is the substance of the substantive I? Which I use to refer to myself. Understand? Therefore, what I am, what I is, I need to know. So only in knowing what I is, what I am, only in knowing. But now, jnanam. Jnanad mokshaha na karmana. So karma is not a means of knowledge. Understand? The means of moksha, freedom. Knowledge is the only means of freedom. What is that you need? Karma or jnanam? Okay, ignorance is the cause of ignorance, isn't it? Self-ignorance, knowledge of the existence of one's own self is a beautiful thing. If knowledge of the existence of one's own self is not there, then that's a different thing, isn't it? Knowledge of the existence of one's own self in terms of I am, I itself, knowledge of existence of one's own self. I am. But what I am? In knowing what I am, the knowledge of one's own self will be complete. Understand? I am this. And that complete knowledge is required. This half ignorance is the root cause of the problem. In total ignorance, there will not be any identity. Identity is possible only if there is knowledge, isn't it? If there is no knowledge at all, will there be identity? Tell me. If there is no knowledge at all, I am, if this knowledge is not there, how can there be any identity? So what is the identity is possible only if there is some knowledge. In total ignorance, there cannot be any identity. Non-identity. Understand? In deep sleep state, do you have any identity? Do you know you're a man or a woman? Do you know any rich or poor? Do you know sad or happy? No, there's no identity in sleep. So, understand? Why? Because there's no knowledge I am. So, in total ignorance, if there's no knowledge of the existence of one's own self at all, there'll be total ignorance, then there won't be any identity. In non-identity, there is no pain. Understand? In right identity, there is no pain. In wrong identity, there is pain. Understand? Non-identity, right identity, wrong identity. So in total ignorance, there is non-identity. Then don't worry about it. In total knowledge, there is right identity. In half knowledge, half, there is half ignorance, there is wrong identity. Understand? Therefore, in wrong identity, when is wrong identity? Only when there is half ignorance and half knowledge. I am is half knowledge. Then wrong identity is also possible. Therefore, this half knowledge has to become total knowledge. Becomes a complete knowledge. Ardha jnanam should become purna jnanam. Ardha jnanam will become purna jnanam. I am is what? Knowledge of existence of one's own self has to become I am. What? Wave is half knowledge. The knowledge of the existence of the wave. And the wave is water is what? The existing wave, nothing but water, is the total knowledge of the wave. Like that here, that I am is half knowledge. It becomes I am the truth. Aham Brahma Asmi. In total knowledge, what happens? Immediately, the I sense is shifted, dragged forcefully. No, is shifted cognitively from mere form and name to the non-substantial form and name to the actual substance. I sense is shifted from the non-substantial nama-rupa to the actual substance. Shifted means that is resolved. Wave is water means the wave is what? The form, the name, identity, everything is resolved in the water. Cognitive resolution it is, isn't it? Similarly here, I am, aham Brahma Asmi, aham Chaitanyam, I am, I the self, I am the consciousness. In that what happens? I the self, I am the consciousness means the I sense is shifted from what? The form and name, body, mind, sense complex, it is resolved in the consciousness. The form to the formless reality. The time-bound, spatially limited, object-wise limited, form to the timeless, formless, spatially limitless, object-limitless reality, the consciousness. Then you see what? My God, all that is, there is only the truth. Not only that, the fear will not resolve just by that. After resolving the identity, what you see? What is there is only the truth. Like how when the wave is water, in the knowledge, in total knowledge of what the wave is, the wave form and name, the identity is resolved in the water. Then you see what? The water, 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 water. There is no ocean. There is no wave. There is only water. The only water means there is no second thing that is very important. Other than water, there is no second parallel reality. Is second thing other than the water with reference to ocean? No. How many realities are there with reference to ocean? Only water. Second parallel reality is not there. Not only parallel reality, second thing is not there. Is there anything other than the water? You resolve the wave, resolve the ocean. What is there now? Only water. When there's no second thing, and who's the destroyer? Who's the destroyed? How can there be fear? Dvaitadhi bhayam bhavati. Understand? Please understand. It's a very important lesson. I'm talking about the fear today. Dvaitadhi bhayam bhavati. Fear is because of the duality. The perception of duality, mistaken for reality, is the cause of fear. The fear will be resolved for good in the clear vision of the fact of what? Non-duality of the reality. There is, you resolve, I give the example of this ocean and the wave. Otherwise you can't understand it easily. Isn't it? You don't say second reality, parallel reality. There will be two for one to be destroyed by the other, harmed by the other. There must be two for one to be harmed, destroyed by the other. There's no second water. Water means it's only one water. And is there anything else other than the water? No. Why? The wave is resolved, ocean is resolved, Namarupa is all resolved in the water. Only water. There is no second reality, there is no second thing other than the water. Therefore, in the vision of the oneness of the reality, non-duality of the reality, the fear will be resolved for good. It's not, you don't stop there. First, understand, arrive at the substance of substantive I, and see the substance of the substantive I being the only substance of the entire cosmos. Understand it. Then you resolve, not only resolve the I, you resolve the jagat also in the thing. There is no second, nothing in the world can harm. Any form is mithya, any name is mithya. And how can the mithya harm the satyam? Mithya which enjoy is dependent on satyam for its existence cannot harm the satyam. My God, just shifting the I sense from the anatma to atma, your fear can be resolved for good. Okay? The fear, you have to search for the fear. Oh, where is the fear? Where is the fear? Where is the fear? Where is the fear? You have to search for the fear afterwards. That's why in Subramanya's picture, Yam Rukka Bayamen. Okay, it's always people are asked to worship, they invoke the grace of Bhagavan Nama Subramanya to resolve the fear. You know, particularly specifically, we invoke Kartikeya for resolving the fear. That's why especially the Payani Dev is specially for Jnanam. Understand? So only in Jnanam. In Jnanam, right identity, isn't it? Then everything is resolved. You don't stop there. Not simply I am consciousness. Huh? Not like I am consciousness. There's nothing other than consciousness here. Understand now? Not simply saying I am consciousness, knowing the arriving at the substance of substantive I is for you to see a second thing, a second parallel reality being not there. All that is here is only Brahma, Chaitanyam, and I am the Brahma. Everything here is Brahma. Understand? So, dvitiyadhi bhayam bhavati. The fear is caused by, you know, perception of the duality being mistaken for reality. We are resolved for good. Everything comes and goes in that. The mind has to be dwelling only upon that to resolve the fear. I am very happy to repeat it today. It is a kindergarten lesson. It is very introduction itself. I begin my introduction like this only. But still today, I want to do... I'm very happy. I don't mind doing it. Because we never think about it.
Very good.
Okay? Therefore, how important it is to understand. We always talk about the identity. The English word identity, identification. Identity cards also we carry everywhere, isn't it? Unless you have you carry the card, you won't be allowed inside anywhere. Identity proof, isn't it? Proof they need. And here, who is the proof? You are the only proof. You are the only evidence. And you are evident, isn't it? Therefore, identity, non-identity. What is non-identity? What is right identity? What is wrong identity? Isn't it? So here, we have wrong identity. Not that we want to have a wrong identity. Helplessly, wrongly identified. And helplessly, going through sufferings caused by the wrong identity. Is all the wrong identity. So, right identity we need. Isn't it? Which means a cog, not simply understanding, that is why Nididhyasana also is emphasized later on. Once you understand and repeatedly dwell upon the fact of what, it's like wave is water, wave is water, wave is water, wave is... First you understand wave is not just the form and name. Wave actually is water. Wave is water. There's no wave. It's just the water. Isn't it? Dwell upon. That's Nididhyasana. And regularly what now? Not only wave is water. What is that? Only water. Only water. The whole ocean is water. Every wave is water. Entire ocean is water. There's only water. There's no wave and ocean at all. I have to say that. It's all slow. Isn't it? Slowly, slowly resolving it. You resolve it. Seeing, you can say no. Experiencing, you can say no. And that is when you will see what is fear. The fear is also like one of the waves which comes and goes, which is there when there is something, okay, wrong identity is there, which resolves. And the same truth, fear also will resolve. Fear also is what? The same reality. Understand? Which was there due to some reason, which can be resolved for good. And the fear resolves. So, what you need for resolving the fear for good is the correction in the notion one has about error, erroneous notion one entertains about oneself. The correction in the erroneous notion one has about oneself is possible only when one has the right identity. The wrong identity has to be resolved. For right identity, one needs only knowledge, not the karma. Understand? That is why meditation is a mental activity, will not resolve your ignorance. Understand? Any karma itself is a part of ignorance. Therefore, here, what he wants is, it will not... You need only jnanam. And these devas took refuge in what? The karma. For what? Mrityoho. Mrityoho. Bibhyataha. Being afraid of fear of death. And bibhyataha means being afraid of fear of death. Be afraid of death. They surrendered to the karma kanda of the three Vedas. Tai Midyam. Then they realized what now? And the chandas, the word chandas means mantra, the word chandas means Veda, the word chandas means meter. Why chandas is called chandas? Because it covers. Now he says, use a beautiful example, the next mantra he says, Tan. U tatra mrityur yatha matsyam udake paripashyet. see, suppose Matsya Ghatakaha, let me tell you, the Matsya Ghatakaha means the destroyer of fish. Who is the destroyer of fish? The fisherman, okay? The fisherman who goes for fishing, and what does he do? He sees the fish, and all the fish underneath the water are clearly perceptible for the fisherman. Isn't it? Even though water is covering the fish, water seems to be covering the fish. Water is there, underneath the water there are the fish. But still, even though all the fish underneath are covered by the water, still standing on the seashore, standing on the bank of the river or the pond also, the fisherman can very clearly see through the water, they can see the fish. Similarly here, understand now, there's an example given by the Upanishad itself. Similarly, Mrityu, Lord Yama is like the fisherman. And he sees there on the top, and sees there, and we are all covered by what? All these performers, the people who perform the rituals, all the rituals and the Punya Palam, all the three Vedas, Rig Veda, Karma Kandam rituals, Yajur Veda, Rig Yajur Sama, all the mantras, all the Karma Kandas, Karma Kanda Punyam are like the water. And we are like the fish, okay? And the Lord, fish, understand? It's a beautiful example he gives. All the karma, secular karma, punya karma, all the meditations, vachikam karma, manasam karma, kayakam karma, all the karma, all sorts of karma you do, all lots of punya karma you do, all forms of karma you do, perform, and all the punyam you earn as a result of karma, they're all like a clear water. They seem to be covering, protecting you. Just as the water which seems to be covering the fish is mistaken for the protecting the fish. But still, Matsya Ghataka, who's Matsya means fish, no? Matsya Ghataka, the fisherman standing on the seashore or the bank of the river can see through the water very clearly underneath the fish, which means the fish which cannot escape. The water covering the fish and a means of protection. Similarly here, I'm going to complete the class now, okay? You can go for tea. So the fisherman, all the Lord Yama is like the fisherman. And all our punyam and karma is like the water. And we are like the poor fish underneath. Which means the karma palam is not a source of protection for us. Still, he can easily fish, put the net, and then will be destroyed, killed. Can escape from Kala, then Mrityu. So what we need is, that's the limitation of the karma, is beautifully said here. See, the more and more we are into performing karma, I'm not saying short doof karma. The more you become extroverted, the more you forget yourself. Which means, therefore, the karma is said to, karma, the mantras and the karma actually, they cover the self. They cover the self. Isn't it? So they involving themselves only in karma, performing rituals, they cover the self. They forget the self, isn't it? That's why the mantra is also called Chandas, because it covers. It covers itself. I'll tell again the meaning. So now the next mantra says, this Devas, finally what now? They, Tan U Tatra Mrityur Yatha. Okay, let us see the next mantra now. Tan U Tatra Mrityuhu Yatha. Matsyam
Udake
Paripashyet Evam Paripashyet Pariyapashyet Richi Samni Yajushi Tenu Vidit Urdhva Richaha Samnaha Yajushaha Swarameva Pravishan. See, in this mantra they give the reason why they then started meditating upon Omkara. Why Udgita Upasanam? Why meditation upon Udgita is recommended here? Because initially these devas surrendered to the Karmakanda of the Veda, they are performing rituals and being afraid of death, seeking protection from death, fear of death, they are performing rituals. And the Upanishad says here, just as the fisherman, the destroyer of the fish, looks through the water, the fish underneath, under the water, being covered by the water. Even though the water covers the fish, still the fisherman can see through the water the fish very well, and still he can catch them, still he can destroy the fish. In the same way, this Mrityuhu, Lord Yama, the time factor also, ceases through the karma. Okay, ceases through the karma. Sees all the beings through the karma. Yajumshi, he says, Samni, Richi, Richi, Yajushi, Samni. In all these karmakandas, the rituals prescribed in the karmakanda of the Yajurveda, Rigveda, Samaveda, through all these rituals also, this time factor sees the performers, which means what? There's no way of being protected by karma. And this fact, after performing rituals, enjoying the fruits of rituals, these people, devas, realize this fact. What is the fact? Karma cannot be the means of protection. Karma is not the means of protection. Not only karma, karma phalam cannot protect us. Isn't it? And thereby, what did they do? Tenu viditva, knowing this fact, that karma is not the means of moksha, means of protection. Urdhva, richaha, samnaha, yajushaha, urdhva. What is that which is exalted of all the mantras? No? Of all the Rigveda mantras, of all the Yajurveda mantras, of all the Samaveda mantras, Atharveda mantras, of all the mantras, what is which is exalted? Rig Yajus Sama. Richaha Samnaha Yajushaha means what? Of all the mantras, exalted is Swaraha. And in this mantra, the new word is introduced. Swaraha is a word used to mean Om. So Omkaraha is what? Actually is known as Pranavaha in Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, and is known as Udgita in Samaveda. Again here, the same Omkar is known as Swaraha. Finally, they have Swarameva Pravishan means they entered, literally means what? They entered into Swaraha means they have taken refuge in Omkara, means they have taken Omkara as the exalt of the mantras, and they are meditating upon Omkara. Now they stopped performing the rituals and stopped seeking the protection from the protection from fear of death through the mantra, the rituals. Now they started seeking and meditating upon the Omkara, Swaraha. Swarameva Pravishan. That's why Yaschandasam Rishabho Vishnu. Yaschandasam Rishabho. What now? Chandasam Rishabaha. The exalt of all the mantras is Omkaraha. Isn't it? We already understood. The same thing. Now, knowing this Omkara, the Udgita is exalted of all the mantras. Now they have taken Omkara, Udgita. And Shankara does not want to accept that, does not want karma to be belittled. So Shankara Bhagavad in his commentary, he says, because they performed rituals, they sought protection, you know, from fear of death through result of karma. They understood what now? They know the limitation, they understood the limitation of the karma and karma phalam. Not only that, because of the performance of rituals, they became purified, mentally pure. So karma, Shankara Bhagavad-pada wants to emphasize the fact, performance of karma does not go waste, isn't it? It helps them become pure-minded. So Shankara says in his commentary, Devaha vaidikena karmana samskritaha shuddhatmanaha santaha mrityoho chikirshitam viditavantaha. What mrityu wants to do, means mrityu can kill anybody. Nobody, no way of escaping from the death by doing karma and by earning karma phalam. This fact they understood. Then they became mentally pure. Shuddhatmanaha means they became pure minded as a result of performing these rituals. So Udgitam, what is this? They understood Mrityu Bhaya Apagamam, that Swaram Swara Shabditam Pravishtavantaha. So they thought Omkara Upasanam, Udgita Upasanam will help them in accomplishing this freedom from fear of death. The next mantra says how it the Omkara is known as Swaraha. That's said in the next mantra. See, just to say Devas meditated upon Udgita, why they meditated upon Udgita? In this context, Upanishad wants to tell us the limitation of karma also. Okay. Yadava richam apnoti omityeva atiswarati evam sama evam yajuhu eva u swaraha yade yetade aksharam yetade amrutam abhayam tat pravishya devaha amrutaha abhayaha abhavan. So he says now Richam apnoti, whether a person recites the Rigveda mantra, Richam apnoti means what? Whether a person recites a Rigveda mantra or Hamaveda mantra or Yajurveda mantra, whichever mantra, whichever Veda one recites, chants, definitely first one utters Omkara. Okay, Omkara Swarati. Swarati means gachati, it moves. Anything goes with the Omkara only. Therefore, it's called Swaraha. So, and this Omkara is Aksharam Etad Amritam Abhayam. So, Omkara has the glories. Okay, Omkara happens to be the sound symbol of Paramatma, the Ishvara. He says it is of the nature of immortality. Omkara itself is what? Aksharam, imperishability, and Abhayam, the fearlessness. So fearlessness is the nature of the reality, nature of the Omkara, and also Amritam, immortality is also nature of reality. So fearlessness and immortality are the two gunas, two qualifications here, the glories of Omkara. So now therefore these devas meditated upon Omkara as the one endowed with the glory of being immortal and being fearless. Okay, Amrita, Abhaya, Guna, Visishta, Udgita, Upasanam. What is the Upasanam here? Amrita, Abhaya, Guna, Visishta,
Udgita Upasanam.
You have to write the name here. This Devas practice meditation. What meditation? Amrita Abhaya Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam. So Devas meditated upon Udgita, the Omkara, Samaveda Omkara, the Udgita, as the one endowed with the glory of being immortal and fearless. Omkara is said to be, Udgita is said to be endowed with the glories of immortality and fearlessness. Amrita Guna Visishtaha, Abhaya Guna Visishtaha. Understand, Omkara is free from what? Omkara is Ishvara here. And what is the nature of Ishvara here? One who is of the nature of fearlessness and one who is of the nature of immortality. If Ishvara is also has fear, Ishvara also is mortal, then what is the use of worshipping and praying to the Ishvara? That is why Ishvara is a Guna Visishtaha. What is the guna? What is the guna visishta means? Endowed with that particular, a special feature, the quality, the qualification, attribute, you can say, the glory. And what is the glory here? Immortality. Being immortal is the glory. And being fearless is the glory. So they meditate upon Omkara as the one endowed with the glory of being immortal and fearless. And having meditated upon that Omkara, what happened finally? They became qualified for knowledge. They even understood the surup of the reality. That's not said here. We have to supply. And finally, as a result of practicing meditation upon the Udgita, they became Amrutaha Abhayaha Abhavan. They attained immortality and they attained freedom from fear of death. They became fearless and immortal. Amrutaha Abhayaha Abhavan. One sentence, the Upanishad finishes, one small sentence finishes everything. How? That we have to explain later on. Yaha.
Yaha.
I told you already, we are not practicing any of these upasams. We are only understanding the upasams. So don't take it seriously. Yaha. Saha. Yaha. Yetad. Yevam. Vidwan. Aksharam. Pranauti. Yetadeva. Aksharam. Swaram. Amritam. Abhayam. Pravishati. Tat pravishya. Yad. Amritaha. Devaha. Tad. Amritaha bhavati. Iti. Chaturthaha khandaha. This is the fourth khanda. In the fourth khanda, nothing important. Only thing is what? Devas meditated upon Udgita. And why Udgita is the exalt of all the mantras? And Udgita is a sound symbol of the Lord. And Udgita has the glory of being endowed with the nature of what? The immortality and the fearlessness. Therefore, meditation upon that Omkara as the one endowed with the glory of being immortal and fearless, one also can become fearless and immortal. So, what you meditate upon, you become that. Yad bhavaha tad bhavati. Whatever you meditate upon, you become that, isn't it? So, here, that's what Upanishad says. So, So, yaha yevam vidwan aksharam pranauti. Pranauti means one who worships, one who respects. Pranauti means tauti, one who praises, glorifies Omkara. Thereby, swaram amritam abhayam pravishati. One surrenders oneself to Omkara, which means one who meditates upon Omkara is the one endowed with his glory of being immortal and fearless. Then such a person becomes immortal and fearless like the Devas. Devas meditated upon Omkara as the one endowed with the glory of being fearless and immortal. They enjoyed the benefit of becoming fearless and immortal. So like Devas, we will also become fearless and immortal if meditate upon the Omkara endowed with the glory of being this Amrita Abhaya Guna Visishta Omkara Upasam. If we practice, we'll also have that benefit.
This is the Upasana Palam. With Upasana Palam, the fourth chapter ends. In between the Upasana section, Upa suddenly brings in what? The limitation of karma is remained. What is the fourth section? What is the significance of the fourth section? We have to go to the fifth section, which we will do in the next class. Very interesting. We are going to have three meditations in the next chapter, next section. And finally, all other upasanas will be very interesting. Upasanas are coming, following. Actually, it is always very difficult for us to accept this fact that meditation will not take you any distance from where you are. Meditation can help you calm your mind. Meditation can help you, have some mental purity and mental steadiness. But it will not help you resolve ignorance at all. Meditation will not remove your ignorance. And meditation is a manasam karma. It's a mental activity. For you to resolve your fear, resolve your, for you the real protection is only in jnanam. So being protected from the phenomenon called fear. In fact, what is that? I told this long ago. When I explained this Mundaka Upanishad, I explained very clearly one thing. You know, what is that? Having the phenomenon called fear resolved is having the mind protected. Okay? Protection means I enjoy protection. I am protected means my mind, having the phenomenon called fear resolved in the mind. Not having it. Having the phenomenon called fear resolved for good is what? Being protected. Our knowledge is protection. Knowledge is protection. So when do you feel protected? Where is the protection? Do you see external protection or internal protection? What is protection? We all seek protection. Protection, we all seek protection. Where is protection? What is protection? Who seeks protection? Protection from what? We all want to be protected. That's why every bhajan we have what? Pahimam, pahimam, rakshamam, rakshamam, pahimam. The bhajan. Pahi, pahi, raksha, raksha. Kapat, kapat. You know, all time in Tamil or any language you say what now? Palaya. Palaya mam. Pahi mam, raksha mam. Every bhajan we ask for protection. That's why very significant word. Pahi, raksha, palaya, kapatru. Very significant. Every bhajan we ask for protection. You know, actually, where is the protection? Where does the protection lie? Is there anything which can protect you in the world? And Pooja Swami used to tell, actually, Life Insurance Corporation will say, we'll take care of. They'll say that. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. Aham yogakshemam vahami. Okay, I will take care of your, all your well-being. I tell you, nothing in the world can protect you other than jnanam. Because protection is completely internal, it is mental, it is your mind. It is not physical. Isn't it? So emotionally, if you feel independent, you are protected. You're emotionally dependent. Physically, I can stay in this house alone. But emotionally, I'm dependent means I'm still unprotected. Physically, we are helplessly remain alone sometimes. Nobody comes to my house, I'm alone. Means I'm alone. Understand? Physically, I can be alone. Being physically alone does not make one feel really protected. Emotionally, one has to be independent. Even if 100 people are at home also, still if you are emotionally independent, you are protected. Without anybody also staying alone physically also, if you are emotionally dependent, you are unprotected. So protected, being protected means having one's, the phenomenon called fear resolved for good in your mind. Not having fear. Utter fearlessness is what? Actually, mental protection. And protection is possible only when you resolve the fear. And the phenomenon called fear can be resolved only when you
really when you have the right perception, through right identity, through knowledge. So it is the knowledge of what the truth is in terms of what I am. Knowledge of the truth in terms of what I am will help you have what? Will help you have the total knowledge. I am half knowledge should become what? I am, I the self am, the consciousness, the total knowledge. Aham Brahma Asmi. The total knowledge what? Actually, you resolve, you have the right identity, right perception of the self as well as of the world. In right knowledge of the truth, right knowledge of the self, in right identity, there's right perception of the self as well as of the world. In right perception of the self as well as the world, then what now? The phenomenon called fear will be resolved for good. The three things should go step by step. You don't look at the world as something there. Okay, world also is Brahma, you should say. Then when the fear is resolved, that is when you become the, you have protected your mind. And one who has got his mind protected is called what? Dhiraha. I explained the meaning of the word Dhiraha when I explained Mundaka Upanishad. Dhiyam Rati iti Dhiraha. Rati means protects. Dhihi means intellect, buddhi, manaha. Who is Dhiraha? Dhiraha means a brave person, a courageous person. Who is a courageous person? Who is a brave person? Who is courageous? Who is brave? No, the one whose mind is free from fear is the brave person. And how? The one whose mind is free from fear is the one who has protected his mind. If the mind, the fear is in the mind, you have not taken care of your mind. Your mind is unprotected mind. The frightened mind is the unprotected mind. The mind, the fearless mind, the mind is free from fear is the protected mind. And who is the one who has protected his mind? One who has the wisdom. One who has the knowledge of the truth. In terms of knowledge of, and I am Brahmasmi. Sarvam Kaludam Brahma. And such a wise person is said to be Dhiraha. Wise person alone is Dhiraha. According to Shastram, the brave, courageous person is only the wise person, because he alone has got his mind protected from fear by resolving the fear. Understand now? So it is very important. So Dhiraha. The fear, unless and until the fear is resolved, the mind is unprotected. In unprotected mind, there is fear. In fact, if there is fear, unprotected mind. There is no fear, protected mind. And the fear can be resolved only through jnanam. It is knowledge you need. It is not the action you need for resolving the fear. For protection, okay? You need everything else for living this life. For appeasing hunger, you need food. For quenching the thirst, you need water. Definitely, you need, for living this life, you need artha, kama, dharma. But for moksha, for emotional independence, you need only jnanam, not anything else. Only jnanam you need, not karma. To emphasize that point, because sometimes when so many meditations are taught in all the five chapters discuss upasanas, suddenly we may forget. What? No, we may not be. Only meditation may become very important for us. Meditation is important, but know the limitation of it. Meditation is not for removal of ignorance. Meditation cannot remove ignorance. Therefore, meditation cannot free you from limitations, cannot free you from fear of death. Meditation cannot protect you really. Understand, what can protect you is the jnanam, knowledge. Knowledge is what important. So to make understand limitation of karma, and so here in the context of the topic of discussing the topic of meditation, these devas later on meditated upon Udgita. Omkara. Thereby again what? Udgita again, meditating upon Udgita means what now? As the very, so seeing Udgita as the symbol of the Lord, sound symbol of the Lord, and seeing the, understanding the nature of the Lord, then they became free. Otherwise, when they performed karma, they could not see, they could not attain freedom from fear of death. That emphasizes this one whole chapter is only for that much. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.